drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. Vogue magazine's Australian edition is marking its 60th birthday this year. That's right, six decades of fashion and beauty and amazing photography. To mark a very big milestone, it's working with the National Portrait Gallery in Canberra to showcase some of its most iconic portraits. I'm talking about the likes of Elle Macpherson, Nicole Kidman, and in more recent years, Margot Robbie and Adut Akech. The exhibition's called Women in Vogue, and it opens this Friday, and I'm not going to start singing Vogue by Madonna, but I really want to. To tell me more, here's the Editor-in-Chief of Vogue Australia, Edwina McCann. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Patricia.
When you look back at the iconic portraits featured in the magazine, what are your favourites, the standouts for you personally?
Well, often images that I connect with on a personal level. So in particular, there's an image of Nicole Kidman, who we took to Uluru. And to me, that is a very personal image because quite often actresses will sit for our covers because they have a film to produce. And in this case, I said to her I wanted to celebrate the handing back of Uluru and I'd like her to take her daughters and her mother, her father had recently passed, to this very special spiritual place to help us tell that story of the handing back and particularly the story of the women around that area, the Indigenous women. And she was really moved by the idea and so moved by the experience emotionally. And that was really captured in the images. So when I look at that picture, it means so much more to me than just a fashion image.
So much has happened in the last 60 years and the role of women in society has changed so much. And thank goodness, I think. What kind of influence would you say Vogue Australia has had over its readers in that time in reflecting those changes?
Well, we've always told the story of Australian women. We've always documented the times, obviously through the prism of fashion. I guess that's given us a particular point of view. However, I think the most interesting thing for me has been looking back at the pages at funny things like diet stories. And quite frankly, we don't run diet stories at all nowadays. We do run stories about the latest breakthroughs in health and sometimes, yes, zeitgeisty sort of pieces about the health trends of the day. But some of the things that we professed was best for women back in sort of the 60s and 70s leave me quite horrified today. So I guess there have been moments where we do reflect the trends and the norms can be seen very much through our pages. But I'm very much of the opinion that the best way to move forward is not to go back and try to edit out the magazine as it was and the voice of the day. It's more interesting to look at it and consider how much we've changed and how we might look backwards to have a more positive view going forward.
You yourself started your career at Vogue Australia as a fashion assistant and over the years made your way back to the magazine as editor-in-chief, not an assistant anymore, the boss. What influence has it had in your own life?
Oh, it's had an enormous influence. I think the influence of this brand, not just in Australia but internationally, really can't be underestimated. And I think, as I've mentioned, I've just returned from Paris today, and Anna Wintour is very much the sort of editorial director globally now of Vogue, and that is a change recently. And the influence that she can wield in terms of setting up meetings and getting people into the room, and I mean everyone from, politicians through to scientists through to, business leaders, it really does open doors, this title. And for me, it really has been a wonderful, it's given me a wonderful access to all walks of life. And it does give you an influence that I think you need to look at very responsibly and say, well, how am I going to try to make things, better? How am I going to leave not only this brand, I hope, in a really healthy, sustainable way, long-term, when I'm long gone, but also how am I going to make Australia a better place? Like, what do we need to tell our readers the story of? And I think we've recently launched something called Vogue Codes, well, in fact, 3 years ago, and that was really about highlighting women working in technology and encouraging more women to go into computer engineering, but just to become more tech literate. And that was really leveraging the power of particularly our social media reach with young women to try to make tech a more fashionable subject. So there are so many interesting ways this brand can be used. And if I look back to when I was working on the brand in the 1990s, we were limited to just the audience of the magazine. The only way that we could advertise the fact that we were on sale was with a poster outside the newsagent. Whereas now, obviously, we have these hugely powerful tools of social media and our digital online newsrooms, which really have broadened our reach and allowed us to have much more influence than we ever have before. So I feel that we really do need to use that influence very responsibly.
And let's talk about the disruption, because the magazine industry has been disrupted like all media. How have you responded to that? How hard is it to respond to that when it's such a disrupted market?
To me, it was really taking a 360 approach in the beginning and saying, okay, this is changing. Let's look at it as opportunity rather than a threat. And so I had to sit down and think, well, what are we? Why do we matter? And I think the reason we do matter is if we weren't here to take these beautiful portraits and document these extraordinary women's lives and women like Adut, absolutely, but also, you know, scientists who we feature through Vogue Codes, politicians, I mean, also women from all sorts of walks of life. If the magazine industry is indeed dying and we are not here to document these women today, then, you know, what will we look back on in the future? And we do invest a huge amount of money into our content. We invest substantially into the creation of beautiful imagery, whether that be straight portraiture or fashion imagery. And even the fashion imagery, I sort of looked at it and thought, well, I love beautiful Vogue images on my walls today. And if we're not creating it today, then what are they going to have tomorrow? So if you consider that important, and I do, I think visually documenting our times as women in Australia is important, then it was very easy to say, well, then we have purpose. So, you know, how do we really protect that purpose and that importance going forward? And photographing and creating our own content, but particularly using our covers, which are incredibly powerful. And of course, Vogue is one of the few brands in the world, if maybe one of the only, that celebrities, you know, usually highly, you know, highly paid individuals, when they're sitting for a brand advertisement, for example, or acting in a film, will sit for free. So a Vogue cover is such an honour that they will do these covers for us and make this time for us out of their own time, which gives us remarkable access, again, to create video content and social media content, etc. So if you saw it as one opportunity and understood that the value of your pages and your cover was the creation of that imagery, because I promise you today, no matter how much everybody spends all their life on Instagram and digital media, when you talk about creating a cover, you know, that means so much more to celebrities, even if sometimes I don't know if they see it in print until we post it to them. It doesn't matter. The fact that it exists has some intrinsic value. The fact that it's here forever as a created almost book, if you like, seems to matter so much more and have more historical value.
This is The Drawing Room. You're on RN, and my guest is Editor-in-Chief of Vogue Australia, Edwina McCann. While we're talking about fashion, I read a news story where a business professor in New York said he expects the secondhand clothes market will overtake fast fashion in about 9 years. What do you make of that and the concerns about, you know, fast fashion and the fashion industry not being sustainable? Is that something that you reflect or you have observed in your work?
Sustainability is a huge issue in the fashion industry and something that is being discussed regularly. I think we're seeing, you know, huge companies such as Kering and others actually sort of say, look, this is part of what we are going to do. And they have some pretty ambitious targets in terms of their own companies. But I think the idea of renting your clothes, I think, is incredibly attractive to younger audiences. And I do think there is a huge market in upcycling. So existing pieces of fashion being recreated or refabricated into new fashion. In fact, Alexander McQueen's runway, which everybody would know for doing the Duchess of Cornwall's wedding dress, they had quite a few upcycled pieces. So they'd been made from fabrics that were left on the cutting room floor years ago and in past collections. So it is absolutely a big issue. There is obviously a significant issue around landfill. I've personally, and I don't wish this to sound snobby in any way, but I've always questioned the idea that, you know, your jeans should cost less than your lunch. And I do think that there was something inherently wrong in that, because someone somewhere along the line is not being paid properly, or certain quality is not being adhered to for that to even be possible in the first place. Or it's simply just being done on the idea of volume, and you know, by too much volume, you're going to end up with too much landfill.
Let's get to this exhibition. Women in Vogue is in three parts, looking back, looking out and looking forward. Can you take me through what it actually covers, what the exhibition feels like and looks like?
Yeah, so I'm very proud, particularly of our past. I feel it does oddly connect with our future and where we should be headed now. So we were founded by a Jewish-German refugee, Bernie Laser, who came to Australia after the Second World War, and he had a grand vision to launch an Australian Vogue. So we are actually the fourth oldest Vogue in the world. They launched the US. They launched the UK because during the First World War they were struggling to get the boats over from the US to deliver the magazines. Then they launched Paris, and then after us, after them was us. So we had our own first issue in 1959, but prior to that we had supplements which were inserted into British Vogue, which were being delivered to Australia. And really the reason for that at the time was that we had a lot of very wealthy sheep farmers in particular, and Australia hadn't been as ravaged by war as other parts of the world. And so we were huge customers or consumers of Christian Dior couture. And in fact, the first Dior show shown outside of Paris was at David Jones in Sydney in the 1950s. So Bernie felt that there was a market in Australia. There was this thirst for this international fashion. And to me, that is such a unique story, the idea that we were actually born out of the thirst for fashion, if you like, from regional women. These were mostly women who weren't living in Sydney or Melbourne, and also the story of a refugee who had grand plans. Bernie was very lucky that at the same time he had this vision, also another refugee who had arrived in Melbourne and was working in a studio at the Paris Street end of Collins Street, was Helmut Newton. And he was one of the many intellectuals and artists, of course, who arrived in Australia after the war, went on to become one of the greatest photographers ever, fashion photographers ever. And he created some of our first cover imagery. And he really gave us a unique voice. So, you know, women on beaches with kangaroos, and he went there. He also photographed the incredible Maggie Tabra, and it really started us off, I think, in a global view. It was such an international view, and it marked such a turning point, I think, in the creation of so many Australian cultural institutions that were born then and around that time. I think, therefore, Vogue sort of benefited in the same way that much of our arts community did from that huge influx of refugees after the Second World War. I think after that, then, we were kind of isolated. And so, therefore, during the 80s in particular, the editor, June McCullum, had a really strong view of what she thought Australia should be, mostly as translated by a photographer, Patrick Russell, who worked a lot with a future editor, Nancy Pilcher, and creating fabulous imagery on beaches and with men with zinc on their face and using our red dirt. And of course, that was the era of Jenny Key and Linda Jackson. And there was this sense of Australia finding its own identity in terms of fashion. And we really did document all those times again. And then I think over the years, our confidence in knowing who we were has sort of ebbed and flowed. Sometimes we have been more creatively out there. Quite often, I think, when the country was doing quite well economically, we were taking a lot more risks. We felt a little bit more confident. And I would say the magazine was probably healthier in terms of advertising revenue in those eras. So I feel like today, you know, we are connected 24/7 to the rest of the world. There is a real confidence. There's a real fascination for Australian fashion. We had an issue guest edited by Emma Watson 2.5 years ago that was devoted to the topic of sustainability. So I do feel sometimes we're at the forefront of some of this thinking, perhaps again because we are so far away from all those, you know, as they say, fashion capitals of the world, that we do tend to sort of, I guess, tread our own road.
What are the images in the exhibition, and what do they capture that are most iconic to you? I mean, what can we expect to actually see?
So the exhibition is divided into three main rooms, if you like. And the first one deals with our history, has a lot of the old magazines and some video footage sort of from the time, or television footage rather, and that sort of it gives you an idea of how everything began. And then you walk through that into what the gallery were calling the glamour room. And that's where they have these enormous portraits of the likes of Margot Robbie, Miranda Tapsell, Maria Wasikowska, who's of course a Canberra native where this will be hung, Cate Blanchett, Kylie Minogue, Elle Macpherson, Nicole Kidman, pretty much every big Australian actress you can imagine. And then from there, and of course, Her Royal Highness Princess Mary, who we photographed not once but twice, and she's very kindly opened up her palace to us the last time we were there. And then the third room really looks at Vogue today, and it looks at Vogue in the future. And that's where the wonderful story we did with Adut is featured, and there's quite a few images from that story on those walls, and I'm really proud of that because we took Adut back to her home in Adelaide. For those who are not aware of Adut yet, she is a Sudanese refugee who arrived in Australia via a Kenyan refugee camp with six siblings, and her mother, who was single, worked two jobs to help put the kids through school in Adelaide, and she dreamt of doing well and becoming a model, and she was discovered in Adelaide when she was 17, and then has gone on to today. Without doubt, she would be the biggest model in the world right now. She's used that financial success, but also that, I guess, that position, I think, incredibly wisely. She promised herself she would do well for her family so that she could look after them, and so her mother might be able to spend more time at home looking after her siblings rather than working two jobs. And she proudly told me in Paris this week, actually, well, last week, that she has bought her mother a car. The year before last, she's just bought them a new home to live in. And that is really her major motivating force to be a success. She's also obviously at home being quite vocal, talking out around issues around diversity, and particularly her Sudanese refugee community. So I feel like there's this really rich link between the reason we were started, or the person we were started by, being Bernie Lazar and his refugee story, and probably the biggest model in the world right now, who's telling a very different story of what it is to be an Australian. She's a very different face of Australia, and she has, she's a highly intelligent young girl with really great values, and she's in a great place to open our eyes and tell this story. So to take her back to Adelaide and to juxtapose haute couture, which arrived from Paris, in her home and the school she attended, and photographed with her best friend and with her siblings, was just such an honour. And it told Adut, I think, was on six Vogue covers in September around the world, but nobody could tell that story of Adut in Adelaide the way we did. And that's what's so wonderful about, Vogue Australia being able to tell Adut's story as opposed to any other Vogue.
Edwina, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you in the drawing room. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Vogue Australia's Editor-in-Chief, Edwina McCann. And the magazine is celebrating its 60th birthday, and the exhibition Women in Vogue opens this Friday at the National Portrait Gallery in Canberra. So if you're in Canberra, you can see it. If you're not in Canberra, you can try and get to Canberra. Or you can, of course, just try and find the images in whichever way you can if you can't actually get to Canberra. I've given you so many options. That's it for RN Drive tonight. I will be back on your radio tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Of course, we're on your ABC Listen app anytime you like, around the clock, always hanging out on the internet, which we like to do. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.